It is 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, because of this, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance, listen to these words, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Beloved, it's with great joy and anticipation, and I wish to draw your hearts and attentions back to this most blessed and encouraging epistle of 2 Peter, written to those believers who had been scattered by fierce persecutions and trials. This brief epistle, only 5 chapters, would greatly encourage and exhort every true believer to diligently persevere while growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Peter has said some tremendous things in the verses I've just read. He's laid a foundation, a divine foundation, an unmovable, unshakable foundation that we can build on. But Peter emphasizes the necessity. Please listen to me tonight. The necessity of our building diligently on that foundation. I say that because a lot of Christians wonder why they lack joy, contentment, and endurance. It's because we're not adhering to Scripture when it encourages and exhorts us to build on that divine foundation. Christianity is not simply a life that we join, a form of religion that we join, and then we simply sit idle by and wait for the eternal kingdom to come. Christianity is a life that's built and draws its strength and source from Christ, but it's a life that must grow. And that growing is greatly dependent on our exercising diligence in those means of grace God's given us to grow. We don't exercise diligence, we don't grow. Like I said this morning, considering diligence, and we'll look at that in a few minutes, I think that's one of the major things that lacks in Christianity today. And in my 20-some years' experience as a Christian and 17, 18 as a pastor, I've noticed that Christians do often begin well, and yet they quickly burn out. Not purposely, but they lose their zeal. They lose that ambition. They lose that desire. And that can so quickly happen to us as well. When we, for example, first met in April and May, it was a time of great reviving and wonderful movement of God, and God was blessing our hearts. He's continuing doing that. But if we're not careful, that quickly gets over. That quickly goes beyond, and we're encouraged to diligently now persevere. And that's exactly what the Apostle Peter is talking about. For a right understanding of the truths of God, according to our text and according to the language of Scripture, a right understanding of the truths of God or the fruits of true growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ will never lead to idleness or indifference in our Christian walk. If I'm truly growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, I will not be idle or indifferent in my Christian walk, in my Christian service. I will be fervent, I will be zealous, and I will be diligent. If I truly possess the right kind of knowledge, and it's in the good ground of my heart, it will always produce a spirit of diligence, zeal, and perseverance. Let's let Peter speak to us again, just a few verses. In chapter 3, in verse 10, in 11. Listen to Peter again. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Do we know those things? Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Do I understand verse 10? Do I comprehend verse 10? Then I'll see the fruits of it in verse 11. What manner, if we know these things, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Look in verses 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Do I understand that? Has it grasped my heart? Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in Him in peace without spot and blameless. He said, well, wait a minute, I thought my salvation was perfect. It is. He's talking about diligence and perseverance and service so that when Christ returns, we won't be ashamed at His coming. But we can boldly say, Lord, I've done what You've told me. Paul said, I've finished my course. I've run the race. That's what he's talking about. One more in verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. All these verses, Peter's saying, if you know these things, it should produce a diligence, a zeal, a godliness, a perseverance. To grow in these things even more. To know them even more. To attain to a higher level of, say, Christianity. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, one of my favorites, wrote these words. He said, we are all apt to divorce comfort from duty and content ourselves with a barren and unfruitful knowledge of Jesus Christ. As if all He required of the world were only a few naked, cold, inactive apprehensions of His merit, and all things were so done for us that nothing remained to be done by us. That's what most Calvinists think today, the way they live. That there's nothing remained to be done by us. That's not the language of Scripture. He says, goes on to say, this is the wretched conceit of many in this present age. And therefore they either abuse the sweetness of grace to looseness, or the power of it to laziness. End of quote. And that's true. Simply because we believe in the doctrine of divine election doesn't mean that we have a responsibility to build upon that doctrine and persevere in the faith. If we're going to enjoy a greater level of personal relationship with Christ, if we're going to enjoy the greater enjoyment and delights of a holy, consecrated life, the Bible tells us that we must be diligent in growing in grace and knowledge, diligent in adding to our faith these graces, if we're not going to be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is very important for us to understand today. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Peter does it again. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, for this very reason, therefore, give all diligence. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's amazing. He's already laid in verse 1, he's already laid the foundation that faith is something that we've attained from Christ. Remember, we looked at verse 1 and how he says it's precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, and faith is a gift of God. He said, now that's all God's gift to you. But now you're responsible to build or add to that faith. If you don't add to that faith, you'll not grow. You'll not grow. It's Christianity, like somebody was telling me the other day, they heard on, I think it was Stephen, they told me, heard it on television or something like that, growing old is not for sissies. And it's not. The older you get, the more pain you got, sickness you got, so it's not for sissies. Definitely not for sissies. But being a Christian is not for sissies. Brothers and sisters, it's a life which has to be constantly, diligently added to, persevered in, diligently lived, sought after, something that we daily work upon. It's not a labor, a tedious labor that brings no joy. It's a glorious labor. we are not intended to rest here. This is not our rest. This is just a pilgrimage. It's something that's going to be in 100 years, 200 years, or even when the Lord comes back, it's not going to exist anymore. It's going to burn up in fire. Everything we see with our eyes at this moment is not eternal. Christians live for eternity. They strive, long, and desire to live a life that is pleasing to God. Their affections are constantly set on things above, not on the things of the earth. They're seeking after that treasure where no moth can corrupt and no thief can steal. They're constantly striving to obtain more of that blessed life in Christ. So I say, having laid a solid foundation in the previous verses, the Apostle Peter would now begin to strongly exhort every true believer to diligently build upon such a divine salvation or a foundation. And besides this, for this very reason, because of such exceeding great and precious promises, now here's your responsibility. Do you want to enjoy the fullness of Christ? Do you want to enjoy the things of God in a higher level and higher degree? Then with all diligence. He doesn't say just be diligent. He said with all diligence. Add to your faith. That word diligence and add also means hasty. Not hasty like Proverbs speaks about those who are hasty commit sin, but a hastiness in it, a resolution in it. And you know, isn't that something that lacks amongst Christians? Resolution. I've seen this in our church over there in Germany. I haven't been here long in this church. But God would lead us, I believe, to certain ministries and we'd present it before the church and immediately everybody's for it. But come back to that same ministry 2 months later and see how many people are diligently still seeking to do it, and you'd find very few. Many Christians are not resolute. When something's new and fresh, then good. They feed on it. But when that gets old and gets laborious and tedious, then their zeal begins to slack. Don't we find ourselves doing that in many services for Christ? We start out well. But then the zeal, the joy, the diligence begins to slack off. Beloved, we have to learn the blessed truth of perseverance. We preached a few weeks ago, casting your bread upon the water. Didn't preach it, but on Wednesday nights, cast your bread upon the water. It'll come back. Keep casting. Somebody who's really got their eyes and hearts fixed on Christ, they're not looking solely for fruit, though that's what they desire. A true servant of God has got his eyes on the Master. He's serving Him. Though he desires fruit, though he desires to see something come out of his service, his eyes are fixed on the Master. And it's His applause, it's His commendation that he seeks, and nobody else's. You see, if we don't do that, especially in these final days, we'll quickly burn out in our service for Christ. Because there's not a whole lot of people being added to the church. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of harvesting of souls. We're not seeing a lot of souls being brought into the kingdom of Christ. A lot of times our ministry seems as though they go a long time without any fruits, any effect upon people's life. And we can quickly get discouraged if our eyes are not fixed on Christ. And those who don't have their eyes fixed on Christ, as we'll see in a few minutes in closing, they quickly allow troubles to hinder them. Oh, that's too difficult. Oh, that's too much of a problem. They're easily hindered. And those who have their eyes on Christ are not. They'll continue. Why? Because they've learned this lesson of adding diligently to their faith. Apostle Peter speaks of a blessed and divine truth which has suffered under great neglect and ignorance in a good way. People haven't been taught that. Yet which is vital for the true believer's spiritual well-being, strength, and comfort as well as the church. Namely, the great necessity of diligently, listen to me, the great necessity of diligently improving in those Christian graces and virtues. if we are ever to be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We just can't simply say grow in the knowledge, and that is solely limited to reading and building up intellectual knowledge. No, if we're going as far as Peter says, you'll never be barren in the knowledge of Christ. As far as Peter says here, a lot of our being barren in the knowledge is because we're not improving in those graces. Like virtue and knowledge and temperance. We don't improve in graces. We're going to be lacking fruit in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see how they wonderfully go together? Remember the fig tree? The Lord went up to it to get some figs, and He moved, and the fig tree's got these huge leaves. You can't see underneath them. Good message in there, but a huge leaf. And so a sign that a fig tree has a lot of wonderful, blessed fruit is the size of the leaves. And so in that story, our Lord goes to the fig tree, lifts up that leaves, and there's no fruits, and He got mad and cursed it. Why? Because that was hypocrisy. Somebody professing to know a lot, yet in reality, actually knowing nothing. No fruits. So we can profess to know a lot and have big leaves of knowledge about us. The question of it is, do we have fruit of that knowledge? Are these graces being improved in our life? Am I knowing more about brotherly love and kindness? Question, Grace Baptist, have we been learning about reconciliation and forgiveness and brotherly love and kindness? I would like to believe we have been. We've been growing in that. And we ever need to be growing in that. Not simply say, well, I've learned that lesson, I can move on to the next. It don't work that way. We learn in that. And that's what Bible reading and especially preaching does. It challenges our faith. It's the touchstone for our faith, and it encourages us and exhorts us to live the Christian life. We need to improve in these things. We need to improve in humility, in meekness, in love, in patience, in long-suffering, in prayer. All these areas of our life, we need to constantly be improving ourselves. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Faith being a gift of God, upon this grace, the believer is to add, first of all, virtue. And we won't be long on this one, I promise you, but virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Wonderfully, wonderfully well put and placed by the Spirit of God. Virtue simply is strength, courage, or energy. What kind of faith is that doesn't have courage or strength or energy to live out the Christian life? And beloved, believe me, it takes a lot of courage and strength and energy to live out the Christian life in this deadbeat generation of Christians. And I don't mean that harshly. It takes courage. You know why? Again, so many Christians are quickly hindered from serving God. I can't go to church because the cat got its paw stuck in the gate and it's hurting and I need to stay home and watch it. That's a little extreme, but that's what I'm talking about. Quickly hindered. Well, do we know what takes place in the house of God on Sunday? We would say, God, I will be there because it's the day that I'm to worship You, the God I heard of this morning that suffered for my sins. Oh God, I want to be with the saints when they gather together to lift up praise to God. And yet, in this day and age, Christians find so many reasons for not going. It takes courage and energy to live the life of faith. We allow so many things to hinder us from serving God. And I don't mean to be critical here or judgmental. There are some times when it's not possible, and I realize that. If there's sickness or if something devastating has happened, I realize that. But beloved, we must always be careful when those things come about. Because if we're not careful, the devil will use that and we'll find all sorts of excuses not to serve Christ. And we'll justify them. When in reality, they're just excuses. You follow me? It takes courage. It takes energy to live the life of faith. You know, I won't go into that because these gentlemen are doing a fine job on David. But David's victory over Goliath wasn't due to David's sudden urge of courage. David's victory over Goliath was because David had a victory over the private things in his life, like the lion and the bear. Those are the things that hinder us, not the Goliaths. It's those lions and bears of our daily lives that seek to hinder us from serving Christ. Seek to hinder us and remove the time we need to pray, remove the time we need to read Scripture. It takes courage and energy to say, well, I've got a long day tomorrow. I've got to be at work at 7, or I've got to be somewhere at 7 o'clock. Lord, I'm not going to deny time with You. I'm getting up at 6 so I can pray. Well, that makes the day longer. Yeah, but I'm not about to start the day without Christ. It takes courage. It takes energy. And sometimes those things are put to the test by God. And I know that makes for the day longer, and I know that makes it tedious, and it makes it a struggle. But this is a diligence Peter's talking about. This isn't a virtue that's just slaying our Goliaths. These are slaying the lions and bears of our daily lives, slaying those small things that constantly hinder us. It takes courage and energy. So add to your faith virtue. Virtue. This doesn't make the Christian life unbearable. Not if we truly know the love of Christ. The love of God. Right? This is a most excellent and fitting grace to follow faith and lead all other graces in our list. For like I said, it takes spiritual courage to walk the life of faith, to face those daily foes who confront us and overcome those who would oppose us daily, those hindrances that we call from. That's what Hebrews 12 says, laying aside all those sins that do quickly, amen, easily beset us, and run the race. You know, when they go out for the gold medal and all these big old track meets, they'll have a team of people out on that track. And they'll comb that track, getting rid of all those stones that could possibly twist an ankle on a runner. Now, it's not huge things. It's those stones. And so they're clearing that track. That's the emphasis of what Paul's talking about. Get rid of those sins that easily beset us and let us run the race. Drop that load and run the race. And it's a blessing when these graces begin to improve in our lives by diligence. Beloved, our hearts are filled with joy. And Peter says, we'll be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll be making our calling and election sure. And what better comfort do we have at the appearing of Christ? So shall an entrance shall you have. Persevere in our service for Christ and not grow weary or lose our vigor or zeal. Proverbs 10:4 says, He becometh poor that dealeth with the slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Maketh rich. Proverbs 26:13 says, The slothful man saith, There's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets and there's nothing there. I can't do that because I got a problem. I got a trouble or this or that or whatever. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. What a difference. A Christian who will not add to his faith virtue shall quickly grow weary and shall allow the smallest difficulties and troubles to hinder them in their duties. They'll blame circumstances, they'll blame people, they'll blame anything. They'll allow anything to hinder them in their service. Lord, I'll follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. Remember that one? But let me first bury my father. Let me bid farewell to my house. I've married a wife. Not unreasonable reasons, right? You know what made them unreasonable? Because they were not unreasonable. You know what made them unreasonable? Because He came up and said, I'll follow You whithersoever You goest. And then He said, but... And the Lord said, no, now you've made them unreasonable. If You wouldn't have promised that, they wouldn't have been unreasonable. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? If they wouldn't have promised the money, they wouldn't have sinned. So in other words, He's saying, don't promise Me you're going to do something and then find excuses to back off from the plow when once you've laid your hands on the plow, you don't look back. Because when you do lay your hand on the plow, tell you one thing, we'll have a lot of foes and opposition stand up in our way saying, we'll just truly see how diligent and resolute you are. It always happens. I think this is good timing for this, and I'm trying to quickly go and be finished in a few. I think this is good timing for our church. We started a few ministries a few months ago, and we're beginning to see the fruits of it. Now it's going to be a little bit hot, I guarantee you. 6 people in 1 week showed up in church, or 8 people. 6 heard the gospel this morning. Our adversary is not going to be too pleased with that, which means we have to be on our watch. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We need each one another's prayers. I need your prayers this next week. I've got 6 sermons and 2 articles to print in 1 week. I need your prayers. Amen? That you'll hold me up and pray for me. Next Saturday is the conference. I've got to preach 2 sermons on that Saturday afternoon. I got Monday Bible study, Wednesday Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study. I've got the weekly newspaper article, and I got the bulletin coming out for the November. I'm not saying that to boast or do anything. I'm simply saying, I'm telling you, I've been around long enough to know that now's the time when weariness can set in, and I need your prayers. Okay? So support me by your prayers that I not grow weary in these things. Amen? We need to add to our faith, virtue. We need to improve them graces. That's the wonderful thing about it. Beloved, you remember, even through the hard times in the pastor in the church with the problems in it, you remember, even though it was painful to a certain degree, how that whole thing of reconciliation kind of healed some wounds and kind of drew our hearts out to Christ? And made us more pliable and meek and humble to the things of God. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's wonderful. Anything that will draw me nearer to Christ, even if it's a cross, like the old gospel hymn says, then Lord, let it be a cross. If that's what it takes to draw me near to Christ, then Lord, let it be so. But let me improve in those graces that best glorify Thee. Add to your faith virtue. Work. Be strong. Have courage. And let it be manifested in prompt decisions and resolute action. Don't halt between 2 opinions. God's given you a burden for a ministry. Be resolute. Be fervent in it. Don't slack up in it. Have virtue. To serve God in fits and seasons. And I'll bring this so close. To serve God in fits and seasons is to never obtain the assurance and satisfaction, according to Peter, of making our calling and election sure. He said, if you do these things, you shall never be barren in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but you also make your calling and election sure. And he says, for so an entrance... I love that verse. Can't wait till we get there. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our... Why? What do you mean abundantly? Oh, beloved, I'm telling you, our Lord wasn't kidding when He said, enter into the presence of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. Remember the talents? Oh, it was wonderful, the Lord. You took 5 of my talents and you multiplied them. Oh, enter into the presence of the Lord, thy good and faithful... That's the words I desire to hear. I want, like Paul, to say, I've ran my course. I've finished my race. There's a crown waiting for me. In spite of all my shortcomings and all my failures. Add to your faith courage, energy, strength. Amen? I'll close with a quote from Gurnall. William Gurnall, Christian Armor, big book. They've got it in easy print now. Excellent reading. The big book, the original, can be kind of tedious. It's very long. The print is so small, I almost need a map. Very detailed. The easier, abridged version is a lot easier. But he only wrote 1 book his entire ministry. That was enough. But it's called The Christian Armor. He said this. He said, the Christian's armor decays 2 ways. Either by violent battery when the Christian is overcome by temptation to sin, or else by neglecting to furbish and scour it with the use of those means which are as oil to keep it clean and bright. End of quote. I thought that's very well put. A true soldier in them days had to keep his armor clean and oiled so that every time he would get a blunt or every time he'd get attacked, a lot of times because it was clean and oiled, it just bounced right off. It just skimmed right off. It had to be clean and furbished. And it's true what he said. Either when we're overtaken by sin or when we don't use those means to clean her up. Beloved, this is what I enjoy about Christian life. I really do. I love the doctrines of grace. I love the doctrine of divine election. I know my salvation had nothing at all to do with me. It's all by the grace of God, and I thank God for that, and I praise God for that. But I'm glad that after He saved my soul, He says, now you build upon that foundation, and you live the Christian life. I'm not a puppet on a string. He's given me some responsibility, some privileges. He's given me some tasks to do. He's even invited us to assist Him in reaching lost souls. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Preach the gospel to every... What a wonderful life it is to live a Christian. Beloved, I hope and pray that as we go through this list, and we won't hang so long on each one, but I pray as we go through this list, we'd be encouraged to add these things to our faith, to improve in these things. Are you courageous? Are you full of strength and energy for the Lord? If not, improve in that. That's what Peter's exhortation is. He's not saying you've arrived. He says improve, add to it. So I encourage Grace Baptist, add to it this week. Pray about it. Pray about it. Add virtue to your faith. And may God give us grace and mercy to live the Christian life for Him. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray.